I could call these thoughts exactly the same title that Brother Ray used. The material is almost identical. Some of the scriptures are identical, though I will focus perhaps on a slightly different emphasis as we go through them. I would call this presentation a weighty matter. Now, normally when we speak of a weighty matter, it means that it has social or political or emotional importance. But I'm talking about matter itself having weight. We were having a very interesting study with the brethren in Toronto and covering some sections of 1 Corinthians. And the scripture came up, who has been God's counselor? And that goes back to a quote from Isaiah chapter 40. I appreciated Ray going over many of the details about not only our solar system, but the existence of the universe itself. We live with miracles every single moment of every single day. When you think about it, the possibility of life itself, the ability to take a breath of air, the ability to, from that breath of air, pass oxygen into the cells in our bodies where it's converted to energy, all this happening on a molecular level. And we probe in science and we're aware that the physical planet, Earth, and other planets, the solar system, the galaxies, consist of atomic matter. And we kind of take that for granted. We read it in our elementary science books. But imagine the genius, the incredible, unfathomable brilliance of our Heavenly Father, our Creator, to devise a system of atomic particles, of protons and neutrons and electrons, and perhaps even smaller particles, boson particles, I believe, and gluons, and various magnetic and nuclear forces that allow these atomic particles to exist. Well, that in itself is beyond the minds of the finest minds in science. And yet intuitively, the same God that works in my life and your life every day had that knowledge well in hand. And not only atomic particles, but the miracle also of allowing each element to interact in a different way with all the other elements. Brother Ray showed us slides of water. Water itself is a miracle. One oxygen atom and two hydrogen atoms bound together to make this incredible liquid that sustains life. Well, a weighty matter. You know, how big is the Earth? How many kilograms does it weigh? How large is it? How big is our moon? And what is its effect on the earth? Well, I'd like to read from that quote I mentioned earlier in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. We'll start with verse 9 and read through verse 15. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Wonderful promises. We might wonder, is he really capable of such magnificent deliverance? And indeed he is. And I think the evidences follow in the succeeding verses in Isaiah 40. Speaking of God, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. God has measured the dust of the earth, the mountains, the hills, the waters. Why? I think one very simple reason is he wanted to make a planet that had exactly the amount of gravitational pull that the living creatures who would dwell on that planet would do well under the stresses that level of gravity provided. It's often said that if a human being went to one of the gigantic gaseous planets and tried to survive there, they couldn't because they would weigh so many more times than they do on the Earth. And many of us saw the video pictures in 1969 when men landed on the moon. And yes, I believe that actually happened. But we saw them skipping around, wearing hundreds of pounds of equipment, but feeling light as a feather. Because the moon, being so much smaller, has less gravitational pull. And so God, in thinking out the universe, turned his attention to this little blue ball, the Earth, and measured it out so that it would be perfectly sized for human beings and birds and trees and cattle and dogs and cats and everything. To be perfectly at home and perfectly comfortable. Now I take comfort in that because the God who could, without any other input, understand exactly how to do that, and he did it and carried it off magnificently, he can do the same in making his new creation. He is certainly more than capable of overruling every circumstance in every day of our lives. It gives us confidence and trust in his great ability. Who needs to be his counselor and tell him, you know, O.B. Albert really needs your help right now? He doesn't need somebody to tell him that. He's aware. I continue reading in Isaiah 40, beginning with verse 13. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught the path of justice to him? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. This again is the omniscient power of our great God, our Father in heaven. He understands all things without someone telling him how things should be. Jesus understood the magnitude of the Father's design in making the physical universe. Brother Ray read from Proverbs 8, and I'm about to do the same. Proverbs 8, 22 through 31, which, by the way, before the Athanasian controversy and the declaration that Jesus was part of the Trinity, virtually all the Christian world was united in using these verses to show that Jesus was a created being in a lesser position than the great Father of all. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth, before he made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his commands, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. But I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of men. No wonder Jesus came to this world and was so ultimately confident in the Father. He had spent all those eons at the Father's side, seeing these fantastic principles of physics and the material world being put to use to create such a fabulous, fabulous dwelling place for man. Certainly Jesus knew that he could have complete confidence in the Heavenly Father. Mankind does not yet understand the miracle and magnitude of divine power. Job underestimated it. Job was doubting God and trying to figure God out. And one of my favorite sections of scripture is in Job 38, when the Lord says to him, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? And who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed its limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no further. And here your proud waves be stayed." So even the oceans obey God. He tamed them. He established limits for them. When it came to the matter of the weight of the moon, he made it exactly the right size and placed it exactly the right distance from the earth to create tides that would cause motion along the coasts, that would oxygenate the oceans and provide abundant resources for life to exist. Great is our God, brethren. Great is the creation around us. And my thoughts today, I hope, have helped inspire us all to realize the miracle that is around us every day of our lives, looking forward to the greater miracle of God's blessing each day, now and forever. Amen.